Testing, 1, 2, 3, yes, it's working.
All apples off the ground, and they'd bring those back, and we would get a whole pickup load, and they'd divide those and sort them off and keep the good ones down in the cellar. I think they were wine sap apples, and of course they were bruised and had spots in them because they weren't number one apples. And so we had that all winter, and our shelves were full of sandhill plums that we would pick in the summertime. They'd can that. A few currants. And our delicacy was, my dad would bring two baskets of Concord grapes home, and they'd make grape jelly, and then we conserved that all the time. That was our specialty.
Okay, well then where did you go to school?
Went to school in Belpre.
In Belpre.
Yeah. Went to public school. And all 12 years. And felt like we had good teachers.
About how big was the community at that time?
Well, I think we had close to 500 people that lived in our little small community. And everybody knew everybody. And work together.
How big was your class?
Well, my class varied anywhere from 10 to 15, and when I finally got out of high school, I had 7 in my graduating class. We had one girl. And
was that due to the war? Had some of them left?
Yes, I graduated in 45 and got my draft papers in 45 and went into the service at 46, and I was still 18 years old.
You were right at the end of the...
Right at the end of the war. I had 2 older brothers that were in the Army. And
did any of your classmates, drop out of school to join the Army?
I had one classmate that joined the Navy, and he just quit high school. Of course, I think over the years, we would gain students and lose mm-hmm. students, but my classmates, I think there's 3 of us left. 3 of us out of the 7, I think, that are still here.
Why were people, why did your class change so much? Why were people coming and going?
Well, I think it was people that had, they were just laborers. Their parents, their dad was, because the mother always was at home, and the parents just needed work, and they would find work, and then gravitate to another town or find another job, and then they'd move. I can remember some of the kids that were in my grade school, and I have no idea where they went, but I can remember their name. And sports was a big thing, but in high school, I enjoyed sports. And my dad was a great follower of us kids when we participated in school activities.
What sports did you play? All of them?
I played all of them.
That's what you do in a little town.
That's right. And I lettered all 4 years in high school in 3 sports. We had basketball, football, and track. We weren't large enough to have any of the other sports that the larger schools had.
And you played Fellsburg and Centerview and...
Well, Lewis, Maxville, mm-hmm. Pawnee Rock, Garfield was in our league. Zook, Truesdale. That was, I think, South 56 League, 6 of us schools. And we didn't communicate with them other schools like they do now. And we knew some of the kids, but you didn't see them very often to really remember them. I run across some of the guys once in a while, and we can kind of remember each other during those days. But we didn't get to travel very far from home to get acquainted with everybody.
And what else? So you had your sports. Did you have any other entertainment in Belpre? Was there?
Not really. We had our church. We'd have our we'd have our get-together at church.
Now, there's a Catholic church, and then I saw you were just up there. There was another church. What other churches were there?
Well, when I was growing up, we had four churches in Belpre. Yeah, we had a Catholic church, a Christian church, Baptist church, and a Methodist church. And the only thing that has survived to the right now is our Catholic church. That's all we have in Belpre right now.
Did the community have events, you know,
like the July picnic
or whatever?
We'd have a community picnics and then a lot of the school functions like the plays and banquets and this type of thing.
And a band.
The band, yeah. Our kids weren't. My family didn't play musical instruments because that cost money and we couldn't afford that. Mm-hmm. Some of the things we were deprived of because of that, my dad couldn't afford none of that stuff. But we felt like, you know, we weren't deprived of anything. We had a lot of summer activities in Belpre. We played baseball and we had an opera house. Sometimes we'd have movies on Saturdays. Old movies in that opera house, and then in my later years, high school years, we would have Saturday night dances.
Now, where was the opera house?
Well, it was right on Main Street. It was the only two-story building in town. It was on the upper level, and drugstore, and I think a drugstore and a pool hall were underneath that opera house.
And it's not there now.
It's been gone for 15, 20 years, I think they tore that down.
How about 25 or 30?
Time goes fast.
Time gets away.
Okay, you were the youngest, you said. So at the time you graduated, what were your siblings doing? You had two brothers who already were in the service?
Yeah. My two older sisters had gotten married.
Were their husbands in the service, or...?
Pardon?
Were they in the service?
One of them was in the service, the other one was not. And then my older brother went to the service, and he had gotten out before I left.
What was he in? What branch was he in?
He was in the Army. Both of my brothers were in the Army. And they had gone to the European theater, both brothers. And when I was drafted, you know, you're only 18 years old and you were pretty homesick when you left and boarded a train in Kinsley, and we gathered up guys as we went. We were headed toward Leavenworth, and we got to Kansas City at the Union Station and changed trains and went to Leavenworth, and the next day, we went through a series of shots and physicals, and about three days' time, they swore us in the Army, and I was shipped to Fort McClellan, Alabama, for my basic training in infantry. I came out of infantry training, and I was a rifleman, qualified for M1 rifle, and I came home on leave and went back. I got my orders to go to the Pacific Theater. And I went to Camp Stoneman, California. And while I was there, my granddad died. And I got a special furlough. And I hitchhiked home. I caught a naval plane and flew into Olathe, hitchhiked from Olathe to Ellenwood, where the funeral was, and got there, and they were just lowering him in the ground. And I got there, and they raised me back up so I could see my granddad. And, then when I got back to Camp Stoneman, my outfit had shipped out, and so all the guys that I knew were gone, and they reassigned me they asked me if I could type. And I said, yeah, I was a good typist in high school. So they gave me a clerk typist job, and I was assigned to a unit, and I went to Japan, the occupation army. And got acquainted with a completely new set of guys. And we docked at Yokohama. Well, Yokosuka Naval Station is where we docked, and it's just right next to Yokohama. And I was stationed in Yokohama as a clerk typist, and I worked for the provost marshal and at the general headquarters, and that was in the 8th Army, and that was the 8th Army headquarters in Yokohama. And I saw all of the devastation in the Yokohama area and the Yokosuka area from the atomic bomb, the second one, mm-hmm. where they dropped the second atomic bomb, and it just destroyed everything. The ground was just flat and dead. And there were a few walls that would, brick walls that were still standing partially, and everything was just, you know, gone, bare, barren. And where we had our camp was Quonset huts, and they housed, I think, like 30 guys. And in my spare time, I would help build this camp and fix, assemble our Quonset huts and place to live, and kind of went to work 8 hours a day and did a little typing
And what was your job with the other unit if you hadn't come home for your grandfather's funeral?
If I would have stayed with my other unit, I would have gone to Korea. Hmm. And I would probably would have had a different lifestyle. And then when I was when it was time for my service to be over, I was still in Japan. And they wanted me to join the regular army. And they offered me another stripe, which would have made me a staff sergeant. If I would have stayed in the Army and re-upped for, I think, 3 years at that time. And they gave me a choice of doing that or coming home and getting out of the Army. And I chose to come home and get out of the Army. If I would have stayed, they were going to ship me directly to Korea. And then the Korean War broke out like 6 months after that. So I was felt like I was fortunate. I came home, chose to come home, and mm-hmm. came back and docked at Seattle, and went down to Fort Ord, California, and got my discharge papers, got my $100.
$100
was my discharge fee, And then you automatically stayed in reserve for 10 years. And then I never was recalled. But our mode of travel from the day I left Kinsley, our mode of travel was basically all by rail. Mm-hmm. And went to Alabama by rail on troop ship. And then when you're in the military, we were transported in our 6x6 trucks, army trucks, but our mode of transportation was very slow compared to today.
That the trains were filled with servicemen, or
yes, yes, we always traveled as a troop ship.
As a troop train,
the train was completely all just GIs.
Did you stop at any places? What's the place up here that they used to feed the guys
in Nebraska?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you have places like that with a community?
Yes. Well, when I was drafted, we stopped at every little town and picked up mm-hmm. guys that were drafted. We'd pick up a few in this town, and I don't know how far west this started, this troop training we were on, but the guy that was in charge of my little group of about 12 guys, he was from Ensign, Kansas, and he boarded at Dodge City. And he held the papers on us guys that he was in, more or less in charge of. And yes, we stopped at Newton. We got off of the train, and they fed us coffee and donuts, and the Harvey House was there. And then when we got into Union Station in Kansas City, and that place was packed, and we were just little kids, you know, 18 years old, and man, I tell you, that was a big place, and people all over. And that was this guy's job, is to keep us together and keep all of our guys together. And then we boarded, and then we went down a long ramp, and there was about 20 trains lined up, and we wondering if we was getting on the right train, and went in, and then we took a train on over to Leavenworth, and I don't know, you hurry up and waited, and you
did
felt
you have
like
sort of a boot camp at Leavenworth, or
no. We were there 3 days.
3 days.
Took our physicals. They said, "Hey, you're fit." Gave us shots and signed us to Fort McClellan, and took infantry basic training, and that was not fun. And rain and red dirt, cold.
Yeah, I was going to say, what time of year was this?
Well, it would have been in February and March.
You were drafted on right after your 18th birthday?
Yeah.
So
when you're 18, when you're 18, you had to register, and then it took a few days to get you drafted.
That was sort of automatic then. I mean,
yeah.
If you were fit, you'd be going a few days after your 18th birthday, which was in October, right?
Yeah. So, no, there were a lot of homesick days. And maybe you'd call home once a month on the telephone, and if you could get through and talk to your family, and just a little bit, because you couldn't afford anything else. But I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
Now, how long did it take you to go from California to Japan on the ship?
14 days on the ship. And I boarded the ship in Oakland. We had a crew of, I think there was a crew of about 20 of us guys that were chose to board ship a day early and got acquainted with the ship. And we guided the troops into their locations. And our bunk was right at the clear of the front end of the ship, where it was really rough. And when we left that next morning, we went under the Golden Gate Bridge, and saw Alcatraz. And big deal.
And what month was this?
Well, that would have been in the fall. It would have been in the fall of, or probably middle of the summer. Mm-hmm. And 14 days, and our ship run into a storm, and we cracked part of the ship and had to stop and re-weld it.
Oh.
It was a USS Tazewell was the name of the ship I went over on. And I think there was 1,500 troops on that ship, which was, I think, fairly small ship then for troops. And the ship I came back on was General Stilwell. Came back and docked at Seattle. And then transported from train to Fort Ord, California. And now it's bad to get out.
Well, you said a minute ago, though, you wouldn't trade it, so.
That's right. But a very good experience.
Good experience.
Very educational. And I felt like I did a lot of good for our country. And it took a lot of organization to get Japan settled in again, and I didn't get to see much sights there because we didn't have time. I did have access to a Jeep on weekends, and we did drive up one weekend. We drove up on Mount Fuji and enjoyed that. Very cold up there. I got to go to Tokyo a few times, just on a weekend leave. We had a lot of troops there for a long time, and they were all busy getting everything straightened up, and all the debris destroyed, and started building buildings, but I was very fortunate that I didn't get to see any action as far as the war is concerned. And they would pretty much would like to for you to ride home at least once a week. And of course I did that. And my sisters was always real good about sending me cookies and stuff to munch on. And
probably at this time the mails were a little bit more regular than they were during the war.
Yeah.
Where
yes. Yeah.
People would wait a long time to hear.
Yeah. But
how did your brothers feel about you when you were drafted and going in? Did they said they were out already. Or one was.
Yes. Well, the one brother was out. The other one was still in the war.
Any words of encouragement or advice?
Well, not really. No, they just kind of told you to hang in there and do what they tell you to do. And my brothers didn't visit a whole lot about their experiences. They did over the years later. And they were both in some pretty tough situations in European theater. Mm-hmm. One brother was a foot soldier, and the other one was in the tank destroyer division. He was a mechanic, and they saw a lot of stuff over there in Belgium and in Germany. So I felt fortunate that I didn't do that.
It was good to be the younger brother at that point.
I was a little brother.
And when does Marjorie come into the picture?
Well, let's see. I had met her before I went to the service. And she wouldn't give me the time of day. And went to the service, didn't write to her any. And then got back and I was... like some of the guys, and we were we would like to drink beer, and we would go to Larned, and I finally went to dances and got reacquainted with her again, and one thing led to another, and got married and had five kids.
The rest is history. How had you known her before you left? Were you from dances and things too then, or
yeah,
school, or
yeah?
He knew me. I didn't know him.
Yeah. He had picked you out already.
I guess so. But I didn't
well,
know
yeah, the guys knew all the women, but a lot of the women didn't know the guys. And
of course, you probably came back a little bit bulked up man at this time too.
That's
instead
right.
Of an 18-year-old boy.
That's right.
I remember he called me for a date, and I worked in a drugstore in Larned, which, you know, if you work in a drugstore in Larned at that time, everybody knew you. And he called me for a date, and I said, "Eddie, who?" And I wouldn't go with him. I didn't know that guy at all. You know.
Okay, then you came back, and then you farmed.
Yeah, I farmed, and
did you do anything with the GI Bill, or go to school, or just farm?
I used the GI Bill for farm school. I took some classes. We had an instructor out of Larned, and there was I think 10 of us guys from the Pawnee and Edwards County area, and we learned welding, and we learned different things of farming, and that helped me. But I was mechanically minded anyway. But this was just a kind of a refresher course. Mm-hmm. When I first got married, I was going to go into the highway patrol, and I wasn't heavy enough, and I couldn't put on enough weight that winter to qualify to be a highway patrolman, and so I didn't do that. And my dad was farming by himself, and so he let me and my brother go into farming with him, and he purchased some land in Colorado, and we had several quarters of land that my dad bought 6 quarters, and then we rented